Dogs. I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes of what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. This week, we're doing something special. We're having an interview pre-recorded with Sue Price, an actress and a fan of Power Squared.
Yes.
We realized after the recording that you can't hear us for the first minute and a half, but you can hear her fine. So we're going to join the interview in progress with Sue Price.
Well, I grew up in Illinois, moved out here, and you said you wanted to talk a little bit about the movies I was in. Before that, I was into bodybuilding, which is the whole reason I got into a movie.
Did you get interested in bodybuilding? Was that in college you got interested, or?
It was, yeah. I went to college and got, how people gain a lot of weight and sit around doing too much eating and drinking and things like that. So I started going to the gym to try to combat that. So just kind of got into bodybuilding from there.
Okay. And that's a big commitment, isn't it? I mean, it's like hours and hours at the gym, or?
It's pretty big. It kind of takes all your spare time. And then once you start to compete, then it's really like everything, your whole diet, your whole lifestyle.
Right. So how long did you do that?
I did that for about 12 years or so. So from about age 22, maybe, to about 34.
Okay. And how far did you, you were professional. Did you win prizes or things like that?
I won my college contest, and I won a regional, Midwest area show. Then I went on to win state shows and nationals, and then I got up to Miss Olympia. So I competed in the Miss Olympia twice.
Wow.
And I fourth place and sixth place and then fourth place.
Wow. And so what caused you to retire from this after 12 years?
I just figured I had gotten kind of as far as I could go. To get fourth in the Miss Olympia is a pretty big deal. And all the women that I was competing up with at that level were like much taller and much bigger. And, so I had gotten really lucky and obviously done my homework and came in really good shape. But I didn't know if I would place any higher than that, considering how big the women were starting to get. So I just kind of wanted to retire before I got too bulky and, everything like that. And it's kind of an obsessive sport that's not super healthy in the long run. So, I had kids and eventually just kind of went another route.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got into, was it because of bodybuilding you got into the movies?
Yes. When I was in the Miss Olympia in 94, there was a director that was kind of sending a guy out to the shows to scout out women who were built like bodybuilders to be in a certain movie. And so he kind of did some kind of screenings with me and a couple of the girls that I competed against who were actually friends of mine. And he had us audition and read some lines and run and do some active things to see how we moved on camera. And so he ended up choosing me, which was really, I was surprised. Albert Pugh, and he had done Nemesis 1. So then he did Nemesis 2 and 3, and I was in Nemesis 5 like a couple of years ago, which Dustin Ferguson directed, and that was in a whole different direction. It was my character as an older person mentoring a younger person to take my place. So it was kind of a cool thing.
So, how many, so you've been in, I think, 8 films total?
Not that many. I think it was, Nemesis 2, 3, 4, 5. And then I was in one called Robo Women with Dustin Ferguson.
Wasn't there Robo Woman 2?
Sorry?
Was there a Robo Woman 2?
There was supposed to be. We were hoping so, and, He hasn't done a script for it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but my good friend Donna Lee Heising was in that movie. She played Robo Woman, and she's such a good actress and a great, nice person to work with. So I'm kind of hoping that they'll do number 2.
Okay. So do you still have acting ambitions, or is that just something you do on the side, or?
Yeah, just something that kind of happened to me, and so I never thought of wanting to be an actress or really, you know, trying super hard to get roles or getting an agent or anything like that. It just sort of happened. And, you know, if the same directors approach me again to be in sequels or have bit parts, I'd be, you know, happy to do it. But it's not something that's like a big part of what I want to do anymore.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
And I see you're wearing a Queen t-shirt. I know that you're really into Queen.
Yes.
You don't hide it very well on Instagram.
No, I don't. My friends who are sitting here with me are Queen fans as well.
Yeah. I sort of recognize one of them from your Instagram.
There you go.
So I assume you saw Queen live several times? I know you see Queen Nation.
We go see Queen Nation whenever we can because they're a really, really good tribute band. They're about as close to seeing Queen as you could possibly get. But as far as seeing Queen with Freddie Mercury, I never got to do that. So I'm totally bummed about that. But I've seen them with Adam Lambert now as they're touring currently, or up till this year when they can't now. But
right,
yeah. That was just awesome to see because you're actually there seeing Brian May and Roger Taylor of Queen, and they're playing with a different lead singer, but it's so amazing. Yeah.
I remember when they opened the Academy Awards, they really like kicked ass. That's as much as I've seen Queen live.
I really wish I had seen them back when I was young, but I think I was only like maybe 12 years old when I first started buying their records, and you know, I would have been too young to go to a concert anyway. I don't really think they came around to where I lived when I was growing up, but if I had gone, I definitely would have.
You have any questions you want to ask her?
Well, I guess related to Queen, what's your favorite Queen album?
My favorite Queen album?
Yeah.
Queen 2.
Alright.
Favorite song?
Oh, favorite Queen song? Gosh, I don't know. That's always a tough one. So I have probably a list of about 20 favorites.
Narrow it down. So what is the encore when Queen Nation plays?
Well, they're going to play in December, the first weekend of December, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're going to see them all three nights, of course. Probably be really tired trying to go to work those 2 days, but I'll manage.
What is their encore song? What do they think is the big Queen song?
They usually finish with, they'll do We Are the Champions, We Will Rock You, and Bohemian Rhapsody at the end.
Okay.
Toward the end.
You have to wait.
They don't always meet the same band, but.
Now, where are you seeing them? Isn't that, is it, you know, social distancing and all that, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's got to be like that for now. So most of the shows we're going to see are like car concerts where you're in a parking lot and, you know, everyone's in the car or at least staying close to the car. And instead of applauding, if you're far in the back, you're honking, you know, which is kind of a weird thing. Like, it's so weird because I thought that kind of concert cannot be fun. I refuse to go to one of those, you know. And then we went to one. And if you get in the front row, like if you make sure that you pay extra, yeah, and get your car up in the way front where you can actually wave at the band and scream, then it's worth it.
Okay. Let's ask, I'll talk a little bit about Power Squared. You were nice enough, as I said, at the San Fernando Valley comic book convention,
yeah,
to actually come over to our table. One of the few people that actually did. That was really nice of you. Do you have I assume you've read the issues you've purchased.
I did. I did. And you guys even actually autographed the first one I bought for me. which I thought was really cool.
Okay, well, we appreciate it. Was really cool you bought them. Do you have a favorite issue in particular?
I don't know. I think I remember liking issue number 7, but I can't remember offhand why that was.
Kirby? Kirby Good and Evil?
No,
that's the conclusion of that, isn't it?
It might have been the one where Mocha was first introduced, and it's funny because we have a pet bunny named Mocha.
Yeah,
and I thought that's really a coincidence. The whole thing struck me because my kids are twins, and you guys are twins, and then we have this bunny named Mocha, and I thought, this is all too weird. You know?
Yeah, it just sort of worked out that way, I guess. Well, is there, I don't know, any questions you want to ask us or anything like that? Is this too much conversation?
Actually, yeah, I was just kind of wondering because what did you guys, I know that other than being college students, I mean, you guys have graduated now and you're working besides doing the comic book, right?
Well, I'm the father of the two, so. I have a steady job, but what do you guys? You went to graduate school after, or?
Yeah, I. During the lockdown, I actually finished a certificate program through UCLA Extension in fiction writing.
Oh, cool.
And there's another, I'm able to right now get like 100, up to 100 pages of a novel looked at. So I'm working on my second draft of that in order to take advantage of that.
Oh, cool.
And Trevor is doing, well, Trevor took some classes.
Yeah. Trevor was taking classes, to try to get into character design and animation, but right now there aren't any art classes that he can take because of the quarantine. So there's this one class he was trying to take, but the lockdown hit right before he was going to be able to do that, so that's kind of on hold right now.
Yeah, that's kind of throwing a wrench into a lot of things.
Yeah.
Well, so what made you guys decide to do a comic book? I assume this is the first one that you started, right?
Yes, the first one.
Does it show? Yes, no, it was the
first. No, like, but I figured if you had other ones, you would have been selling them at the table as well.
No, this is the first one. You want to tell her why we did one? Okay.
And why did you decide to do that? Have you always been interested in comics?
Yeah, I've been interested in comics for a few years. Kind of a mixture of Marvel and DC. I think we decided to do a comic because we wanted to kind of express the twin experience, and that interest in comic books just kind of went with that.
That's cool. Yeah, being a twin must be kind of unique. I don't know what that would be like, but I know my kids are, they have a really unique connection between them being twins.
Yeah.
They're very, very close, although sometimes they're, you know, not close, but. Yeah, definitely. And now, do you have a favorite comic, or did you when you were growing up?
See, I got into comics, I want to say, in high school. Does that sound right? Yeah. Or community college?
No, it was high school. They opened the comic book store.
The comic book, there are actually two that I really liked. Deadpool and Scott Snyder's run on Batman.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I haven't read either one, but I think Deadpool would probably be.
And otherwise, I've been really interested in manga to keep up with.
Okay. Yeah, I'm old school. When I grew up, we had like the Archie comic books. And what else did we have? Archie and, gosh, what were some of the other ones? I can't really remember, but yeah, it was very, very old school. Nothing with superheroes that the girls read anyway. All my friends were able to Archie ones and the little ones with animals or whatever. Now, what would you guys like to do in your spare time? You and Trevor. Trevor's never on these podcasts or the videos or anything. Is he more shy or just more busy?
he's more camera shy.
Yeah. He's invited anytime he wants to be on.
But he opts out. Yeah, I'm camera shy too, believe it or not. So I was telling my friends, I thought they were helping me set up the phone, and I was like, maybe it's only audio. Maybe I don't have to like show my face or anything. I think everyone's camera shy sometimes.
Yeah.
So now the adventures that you guys have in some of these issues with going on dates with these different girls and stuff, is that reflective of any of the experiences that you've had, like with dating a professor or a teacher or something that works with at school, or is that all like made up?
Well, it's pretty much made up.
It's quite personal.
No, it's all fiction.
Okay. So Paula, isn't the ladies' man in, like that he's in the room?
Well, I'll admit I haven't had too much experience, but I've had more experience. I guess.
Okay.
It's hard right now to meet anybody.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, people are afraid to, like, you know, do anything social at all. Now, is where you live, is the coronavirus scare, like, more now, or is it getting better? Like, I know in Orange County here, we've been pretty good, and now it's getting worse, so they're talking about closing some things, but we've got, like, restaurants open and all kinds of things open. For a while now. All right. So you guys live up in where do you live
exactly? We're in Van Nuys.
Okay, so that's LA County? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of Los Angeles. It's just a...
I thought you were farther for some reason. I thought you were like way up there.
No.
So you have a lot of things closed right now, things you can't do?
Well, you can't, I guess you can't eat at restaurants. You can't eat inside at restaurants. I don't know anything about the bars being open. We don't usually go out to drink, so can't tell you about that.
I walked just to get exercise, and I think the bar kind of nearby is open, but you have to respect social distancing.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And I guess most of the stores are open and things like that at the moment. I have a feeling things might be shutting down.
When we were talking about that this morning, kind of scared of that. And, you know, me working at the post office right now, that's what I do for work. I deliver mail. So it's gotten super bad because no one's going shopping. And they're just ordering every single item for us to deliver. And it's like crazy. People are working overtime and they're just going crazy with all the packages. And I thought, please don't shut down the stores. I don't need that much overtime. I'm fine.
We don't usually get political, but there was a lot of heat on the post office in the last few months. Has that trickled down to you? I mean, have you felt anything change?
No, not really. I mean, at first, a lot of people were talking about it, and the new postmaster was kind of under a lot of scrutiny because he was appointed by Trump, and he was apparently going to do a lot of things that were really going to undermine our service because he was an outsider. He wasn't hired from within. And so when you get somebody at that level who's never even delivered mail or worked in a post office before, they have all these ideas that are like a little crazy. So we were a little worried about him, but nothing's really directly happened to my level of work yet, you know, as affected by that. So I don't know. I just hope that they're going to stop him in his tracks because a lot of people are really against what he was trying to do. So,
you see, like, yeah, he was trying to undermine the whole the whole service.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just political. We don't usually get political, but Just that since you've had that experience, we should ask. Anything else?
Yes, who's your favorite character in Power Square?
Oh, that's a tough one. Definitely not Dr. Alice.
That's good. He's the villain, so that's good.
It would probably be Mocha, just because she pops up everywhere, and she's kind of always got something different up her sleeve. She's kind of one of my favorites.
Oh, good. That's good. Good choice.
Yeah. Do you have any questions?
No, we sent you issue number 10. Have you had a chance to read it?
Yes, I did. I got it right here. I printed it out.
It's coming out at the end of November. So we just.
Oh, good. Okay, so I'm the first one to have it.
Yes.
Will you guys autograph it for me again?
Well, we can actually send you a real issue of it. That was.
That would be awesome. Yeah, see, I'm so old school. If I try to read it on my phone, I'd give myself a headache. So everything for me has to be on paper.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand that, too.
I'm very old-fashioned in that way. It's like, don't send me an e-card. You know, I want a card in the mail. So this issue left me hanging a little bit with what's going to happen now after the big fire and explosion stuff. So to be continued, that one, yeah. So I can't wait to see 11.
We're working right now on issue 16, so 11 and 12 are already done. So.
Oh, but you're not going to give me any what happens?
No, because people don't want to read those things. So they watch this and go, oh, I don't need to worry about it now.
Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know really. Now, how much time is your whole household kind of full of what you do with the comic book, or is this obviously it takes you guys a lot of time to write these things? Like, do you do it at a set time on the weekends or whatever after work, or do you just come up with ideas and just like throw them around all the time, or?
Well, we're sort of going through some of these ideas have been around since near the beginning of doing this comic book. Like issue 16, we realized the first draft was from like 2015.
Yeah.
So we kind of like write them up and then set them aside. And then when we kind of need to have them ready for our artists to work on, then we kind of like a month or two ahead kind of bring them out and clean them up.
Okay.
So this is sort of something that I guess we spent a lot of time on the comic book, even though we're not actively drawing it. But yeah. It seems like every week or so there's, you know, like two or three nights we have to spend looking at stuff, which is, you know, complain. But, you know, we're kind of at the... I would say at the mercy of the artist involved when she does the pages and we need to look at them, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of work to draw all that. And how you guys were imagining it, right?
I think we're getting, between you and me, I think we're getting a bargain on it, but it does seem like it takes a long time. But she agreed to the price, so she stuck with it. No, it's a fun experience. It's nice to, you know, work with, you know, Paul a lot on looking at everything and writing stuff. And it's nice that, you know, Trevor is involved doing the lettering because he's, you know, in-house, in-family kind of a thing. And we've been very happy with the artwork we've been getting. And we have a new colorist, so that's been working out really well, too.
Yeah.
Which was sort of a friend of yours.
Yeah.
So... it's been working out pretty well. It's kind of our hobby, I guess.
Yeah. So it's not like you have a set time where you all sit down in the office and say, okay, we've got to get this issue done, like, you know, brainstorming or whatever, like a certain block of time every day, you just do it as it comes.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And the office is the end of the dining room table. It's like it's a major operation at all.
Yeah, very official, right? Well, good. Well, the issues always look great. I mean, they're so, I was impressed because the paper is nice, the shininess, the color of the ink. I mean, I'm one of those people that's into paper and the way it looks and the way the texture of it. And you know what I mean? It's like a tactile experience when you read something.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm with you. I don't like reading off the computer or anything like that. So.
Right. And even low quality paper, like when it seems like newspaper or flimsy, it's like, no. It's got to be nice. It's got to be shiny, smell good, you know?
Yeah. But you want the whole experience. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I love reading, crawling into bed. And if I'm reading an issue, I'm like, yeah, this is a good quality thing I'm reading. It doesn't just. Because if I fall asleep,
we'll let the printers know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we do appreciate your time, and we may have you back on as a guest later, but we do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Great. Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay. And do you want to do a little outro?
Yeah.
We'll do a little outro. We'll edit that out when we actually put it up.
If you're watching this on YouTube, if you like this, leave a like. Subscribe if you want to see more, and ring the notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
Until next week, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And you've been on the air with Power Square.